Welcome to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. We start our program today with Matthew Moen. He's Dean of the College of Arts and Sciences and Professor of Political Science at the University of South Dakota. He has been on a statewide tour of sorts talking about restoring civility in democracy. You might have caught him in Brookings at the South Dakota Festival of Books. On October 24th, he's in Pierre at the Rotary Club, October 27th in Vermilion. Other appearances are in the works, but first, Matthew Moen is with us in the SDPB studios in Vermilion to talk about dysfunction in democracy, what can be done to fix it. Welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thank you for having me.
So you say there have been worse episodes in American history than the current sort of political climate of incivility. And I'm saying, really? Have we been through worse than sort of what we're seeing during this presidential election, for example?
Well, sure. We've had some remarkable episodes of incivility in American politics. The one that people are thinking about these days is a result of the hit musical Hamilton, where he was shot dead in a political duel with rival Aaron Burr, or you can think about a civil war where 620,000 people are killed as a great expression of incivility. And so, you know, by those comparisons, verbal insults by presidential candidates and their proxies are relatively tame.
I had not thought of expanding it like that in my mind. I have thought extensively about Hamilton. However, it's very popular in our house. And it is sort of this sort of prolonged trash talking as well in the press, in rooms where no one else is allowed to enter, and in the public atmosphere.
And I think you're right, Laurie, that we've hit a particularly low point in American politics. If you look at the Congress, you have Senate Republicans who refuse to even consider a Supreme Court nominee. You have House Democrats who sat on the floor of their chamber. You have a rancorous presidential race. You have vulgar comments coming from the Maine governor. You have attempts to tamp down free speech and voter turnout by elements of the political parties. And so it's not the best of time. I think we can do better. And part of what I hope to be able to do is to talk with the citizens of South Dakota about how we do better.
Why do you care so much?
Well, I'm a political scientist by training and a citizen at heart, and I consider myself a patriot. And so the great American experiment is a grand one in the sweep of human history. There are comparatively few regimes that have been able to manage conflict as effectively as ours. We really have the world's longest running democracy with free elections in the history of the world.
And you don't see that that's at risk?
I certainly hope not. I assume that as this campaign, especially the presidential one, begins to ebb, that people will come back a little bit from the brink that some of them are at rhetorically, and we'll find a better place. But I think we need to talk about it. One of the things that I say in my remarks as I go around the state is that change begins with conversation. And so let's have a conversation about how we all do a little bit better in terms of managing our democracy.
Are we above this in South Dakota? We have a reputation for some niceties, but also a reputation for some scandal and for some harsh words. So where are we at as a state?
I think we're better off than most states. Our politicians, by and large, speak more clearly to us, I think, than a lot of places. They don't get into quite the same mix as some other places. So, you know, I think that we're better off, but I think that it's a work in progress. I always think of democracy as an unending work in progress, and we need to give it thought, and we need to do a little bit better. Part of the thing that I think we need to do is think a little bit about changes in practice, policy, and procedure that can bring about more civility.
So I was gonna say, let's focus on the things that are broken and what some of those early. It begins with a conversation. Where does the conversation begin?
Well, the conversation, I think, begins direct with the citizens. The way I have thought about it is that there used to be arbiters of standards when politicians might cross lines rhetorically. And now those standards have gotten more spongy, and there are no arbiters in quite the same way because of the social media environment. And so people are saying more and more careless things. And it then becomes the responsibility, I think, of the citizenry to try to fix the situation. Mm-hmm. And part of it is just better manners. I mean, the easiest way to get civility is if you have better manners. But I think in addition to better manners, you need to actually think about ways that we can change the situation a little bit to encourage more civility in our democracy.
Let's talk about some of those policies or procedures. Can you be specific about some things that might help?
Absolutely. I put it in terms of ideas that are so small as to sound meaningless and so large as to sound preposterous. But there are a lot of things that could be done. For instance, the members of Congress swear an oath to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. That oath has been changed four times in our nation's history, the last in 1966. Why not have members simply swear an oath to respectfully and collegially discharge their duties on Capitol Hill? A second example, one-minute speeches. At the beginning of the legislative day, Democrats and Republicans are allowed to make one-minute speeches. Research has shown that 96% of the content of those speeches takes after the other side. Why not simply dispense with the one-minute speeches in order to set a better tone to the legislative day? If you want to go toward the more preposterous end, you've got to do something with gerrymandering, and you've got to do something with financing elections, both of which have caught us in a system that is not very helpful to either civil discussion or, I think, the long-term our democracy. I can talk more about that if you want.
Yeah, I would like that. Expand on that a little bit more.
Well, in the case of financing elections, we currently have a situation where we have sort of these endless expenditures by outside groups, smacking political opponents, bringing lots of outside money inside states, and we've seen that here in our state. We have a situation where members of Congress are constantly on the road trying to raise money themselves for their side of the cause. Well, we might think about doing something that just busts the whole cycle. And this idea has never had traction with the American public, but we might want to think about public financing of congressional campaigns. And the quid pro quo would be that we would expect members of Congress to be in session longer, to stay in Washington, D.C. with their families, to meet the families of the other members of Congress, and to work, sort of Monday through Friday trying to resolve the nation's problems instead of the current Tuesday through Thursday schedule followed by fundraising trips on the weekend.
Talk about those one-minute speeches. Would you replace them with something else to begin the day or just eliminate them?
I think you could just eliminate them. One of the things Congress talked about many years ago when it tried some bipartisan civility efforts under the direction of Ray LaHood, who was a member from Illinois who represented Abraham Lincoln's district and tried to bring members together through a series of retreats in Hershey, Pennsylvania. He said, if we're not going to get rid of them, we should at least move them to the end of the legislative day. After we've tried to work out our compromise and conciliation with one another so that it doesn't just poison the atmosphere at the beginning of the day.
People don't, compromise gets a bad rap now. You hear a lot of people saying, I don't want my elected official to compromise. I want them to stand strong with the agenda that I sent them to Washington or to Pierre.
You are exactly right. And I think that's exactly the problem. And so part of what I say to people as I make these appearances is that in democracy, you need a robust exchange of ideas, but you need that exchange of ideas within the confines of civility and compromise and conciliation, or as USD alumnus Tom Gallagher put it in his speech at commencement a couple of years ago, you need to bring with your political viewpoints a sense of humility that you may not be right.
What kind of traction and feedback are you getting as you travel to different locations throughout the state and sort of talk about these ideas from the people who are in the audience, the face-to-face conversations that you're having? How are those turning out?
I think the face-to-face conversations are the key. A particularly notable one was up at Ollie in Sioux Falls. We had 108 people participate. And so I've tried to reach different audiences. That was senior citizens for just kind of a fun evening course sponsored by USD. Up in Watertown, I talked to professional educators, K-12, and some university faculty. At the book festival, you get a little bit different audience. I look forward to going to peer, like you mentioned. And on campus here, I'm going to involve the students in some of these conversations on October 27th. I've asked them to think about how to improve civility in the very democracy they shall inherit. And so I'm looking forward to that on the 27th.
And the very internet they shall inherit. How much does social media play into this?
Well, I think social media plays in quite a bit, and one of the things I've asked a couple of the students to think about is, what do you do with social media? You can't uninvent it, nor do you want to. You can't be a Philistine about it. You simply have to think about, A, are there more responsible ways that we could expose people to the viewpoints than just that way? And secondarily, should we have a little bit of a challenge? So one of the students is talking a little bit about one of the requirements of citizenship should be to go and look at a social media site that you don't agree with at all, just once in a while, just to get that sort of exposure, just to settle things down a little bit.
So let's talk about those sort of individual actions that you can take. Expose yourself to the viewpoints of the other side without trying to just correct them and attack them in return. What else could you do right now to sort of keep the conversation going?
Well, another thing I think we should think about is some sort of campaign code of ethics. We tried this in Maine when I was there, where members running for office, candidates running for office, actually came and publicly signed a campaign code of ethics to run a positive campaign against their opponents. It's ultimately unenforceable. The voters and or the media have to hold them accountable to their pledge to do that. But again, I put it in the category of ideas that may sound small, but maybe it helps change the tone. And if we can help change the tone, that is what we want. We want a robust exchange of ideas, but again, we want a democracy that functions effectively, where people are respectful, where they can talk to each other, and where they assume that they don't have the complete lock on wisdom.
A campaign code of ethics almost made me want to laugh out loud, but then it's a brilliant idea. Are we have we gone too far in one direction to really make it back legitimately to a point of civility in our democracy in the foreseeable future?
I certainly hope not. Part of this effort, sponsored by the Cheeseman Fund, is designed to get exactly at that, to talk about the importance and the maintenance of democracy. We have this amazing story. We created a regime untried in human history, and we've been able to keep it running successfully with a written constitution for 229 years, but it takes nurturing. It takes nurturing, and it takes effort, and it takes citizen engagement, and we have to keep all of those things going as we roll forward.
Matt Moen, you've been listening to. He is the Dean of College of Arts and Sciences and a Professor of Political Science at the University of South Dakota. The statewide tour is about restoring civility and democracy. The next time you can hear him is October 24th in Pierre, and then October 27th in Vermilion. More dates possibly pending. Thank you so much for stopping by. Come back and see us again.
Thank you for having me.